fear is a powerful enemy. In his first inaugural address, President Franklin Roosevelt said, "Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." As far as he was concerned, fear was the force paralyzing the whole nation. Fear kept people from honestly evaluating the sad state of the nation's struggle with the Great Depression. Nothing could be fixed without evaluating things honestly. Today's gospel takes up the account after Jesus calmed the storm and he and the apostles arrive on the opposite shore. We get the impression that Jesus hardly had time to walk up the beach before fear presented itself once again. A demon-possessed man threw himself at Jesus' feet. Now, the Holy Spirit had also inspired St. James to write, "You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." The multiple demons in this man were shuddering. This was a different kind of fear. The demons that infested this man knew exactly who Jesus was. They had gotten used to controlling this man. But now, Jesus controlled them. In today's gospel, we read that the man saw Jesus, cried out, and fell down before him. Then he said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." The demons wanted to get as far away from Jesus as they could, yet they still desired to control this man. But when Jesus says, "Come," they must obey. They have no choice but to obey as well when Jesus tells them to leave the man. There are no atheists or agnostics among demons. They still have a better knowledge of God than we can ever have while we live on earth. Yet the demons' superior knowledge of God can produce only fear. Along with their superior knowledge of God, they also have a superior knowledge of their final end, their ultimate future, eternal torment with no chance of parole. Their great knowledge of God fills them with a great terror of God, and it's a very legitimate terror. Fear also affected the people of the nearby town. At first, they were afraid of the demon-possessed man. The accounts of this in St. Matthew's and St. Mark's gospel accounts tell us that the demons were so fierce that no one could pass by that way. All the accounts tell how no one could even restrain this man with chains. The people in this region had good reason to be afraid before Jesus came. How strange this appears, that these same people were still afraid even after the demons were gone. They were no longer afraid of the man who had once been demon-possessed. After all, there he was, sitting at the feet of Jesus, we read, clothed and in his right mind. Instead, the people were afraid of Jesus. They asked him to leave. He had barely spent a few hours on the beach when he turned around, got back into the boat, and left. Why were the people so afraid of Jesus? We might understand that those who lost their herd of pigs would be upset, like those affected by the downturn in the local economy. But why were the rest of the people afraid? Jesus had just removed the terror of the demon-possessed man. You would think that they would rejoice that the demons were now gone. But now, remember what I said before about the terror that the demons have in God's presence. They know that one of these days, God will carry out the sentence that waits for them, eternal suffering in hell. They live in terror of that day. What's more, they want us to have that same terror. They hate God, but they cannot attack him directly. They would always lose. However, they can attack the beloved ones of God's creation, you and me. If they can implant terror and hatred of God in us, then they will take some of their enemies with them to suffer in hell forever. Even though they must lose the war through Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, Adam and Eve have been given total dominion over creation by God in the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, they surrendered their dominion of this world to Satan and his demons. They gave Satan and his demons the foothold in this world that they need to attack us, the baptized. From that time on, everyone born into this world is born under the influence of Satan and his demons. We enter this world as sinners who hate God by nature. We live in terror of his presence. Even the personal demons in our lives today fill us with the fear that there are no solutions, that God doesn't care, that God only threatens to judge. The demons influence us so that we see Jesus only as a stern judge who cannot wait to throw us into hell. The fearful, frustrated people in today's gospel account display this with their own fear. The presence of Christ's holiness terrifies them. The demon-possessed man in today's gospel was frightening in many ways, but even more frightening perhaps are the demons that blend into our culture. These demons affect this world, even though so many don't notice them. The townspeople in today's gospel account could point to the demon-possessed man and say, "I'm glad I'm not possessed like he is." They didn't understand that not all demons produce the marks of insanity. The people thought they were free of demons, but they were still afraid of Jesus. Demons work in all levels of society and in all the world. They influence wealthy people in government, sports, and entertainment. They influence the poor and downtrodden. Their goal is to maintain our hatred and terror of God until we die, so that we enter with them into the eternal punishment that God created for them. They won't hesitate to use most anything as a means to their ends: pride, money, power, pleasure, entertainment, sports, family, prestige, apathy, despair, or any other distraction. With all the fear in today's gospel, there was one person who was not afraid of Jesus. That was the man who had once been demon-possessed. As Jesus got into the boat, the healed man begged to go along. He never again wanted to be away from Jesus. That's the change that the Holy Spirit made in us when he worked the miracle of faith in our hearts at holy baptism. The demons' lies are gone. The Holy Spirit enables us to see Jesus for who he really is. Jesus is no longer the stern judge, eager to send us to hell for our sins. Instead, Jesus is the loving Savior who deeply desires us to live with him in heaven. Jesus is the one who loved us so much that he sacrificed himself on the cross to rescue us from the clutches of those demons who try to sow fear in us. Jesus is the one who opened up heaven to all believers with his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the one who baptizes us and feeds us with the Blessed Sacrament so that the demons are always sent running away from us to wait for an opportune time to try again. Jesus is the one who will return one day to take us to live in eternal joy with him. Today's gospel tells us that Jesus did not stay long in that area. He barely left the beach. Still, he did establish a foothold of his own. That foothold came in the form of the commission he gave to the man once possessed by the demons. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. The man who now had no fear did, as Jesus said. He went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. In its simplest form, this is the commission God gives to every baptized Christian. He says to us, "Now that I have saved you with the precious blood that my Son shed on the cross, tell others and show others what I have done for you." The Holy Spirit used this man. The next time that Jesus came to this neighborhood, the countryside emptied itself to come to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. The Holy Spirit removed the fear of these people and replaced it with faith. God's word tells us that we still have many spiritual enemies. Among these are temptation, sin, death, and the devil with his demons. Today's gospel tells us that Jesus has power over the devil and his demons. God's word tells us of the power that Jesus has over all our spiritual enemies. Ultimately, Jesus conquered all these forces with his suffering and death on the cross and in his resurrection from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.